Our first scripture this morning is Psalm 56. Be merciful to me, my God, for my enemies are in hot pursuit. All day long they press their attack. My adversaries pursue me all day long. In their pride, many are attacking me. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust and am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? All day long they twist my words. All their schemes are for my ruin. They conspire, they lurk, they watch my steps, hoping to take my life. Because of their wickedness, do not let them escape. In your anger, God, bring the nations down. You have kept count of my wanderings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your record? Then my enemies will turn back when I call for help. By this I will know that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise, in God, whose word I praise, in God I trust and am not afraid. What can humans do to me? I am under vows to you, my God. I will present my thank offerings to you, for you have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life.
I'm just a going over Jordan. I'm just a going over home. I am a poor wayfaring stranger, a traveling through this world of woe, and there's no sickness, toil, or danger in that bright world.
Our second scripture today is Psalm 103, verses 1 through 18. Praise God, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise God's holy name. Praise God, O my soul, and forget not all God's benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. God works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. God made known his ways to Moses, God's deeds to the people of Israel. God is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. God will not accuse, nor will God harbor anger forever. God does not trust us as our sins deserve. God does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's love for those who revere God. As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us. As a parent has compassion on their children, so God has compassion on those who revere God. For God knows how we are formed and remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower in the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, God's love is with those who revere God, and righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep covenant and remember to obey God's precepts. We celebrate the written word of Scripture.
Thanks be to God.
We celebrate the living world, Christ among us.
Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Loving God, you accompany us in all circumstances of our life, whether we rise on the wings of the eagle or whether we sit in the depths. You are here with us now. Open our hearts so that we might experience and become your living word. Amen. In her book, Help, Thanks, Wow, Anne Lamott suggests that we keep prayer simple, that there are three essential prayers: help, thanks, and wow. Now, to be sure, books have been written that might tell us how there is so much more to prayer than just that. But the more I think about it, the more we pray together, the more we travel through this summer of the Psalms, the prayer book of the Bible, the more I've become convinced that there is life-giving wisdom in Anne Lamott's basic premise. There are three essential prayers: help, thanks, wow. Maybe here in the last few years, we've talked most about thanks. At the start of our COVID experience, we intentionally opened up even more space in our worship for a practice of gratitude, our prayers of thanksgiving. Around Thanksgiving and at the start of the new year, we talk about gratitude as a daily spiritual practice. I may have even talked about help, thanks, wow in one of those gratitude sermons. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the wow prayer, as we considered the psalms of praise that nourish us with and give voice to the goodness of God. I even pointed out that the Hebrew title for the whole book of Psalms is Tehillim, the book of praises. Now, did you know that even though in Hebrew it's called the book of praises, in the book of Psalms, laments, crying out to God from the depths of our pain, laments make up the biggest category of the psalms. As the Psalms take us on a journey through the whole of life, as they sing the broad expanse of human experience more than anything else, the Psalms pray help. Help us, God. It is a raw word, spoken out of real human life, out of the trouble, out of the struggle, out of the pain. Help. Help. please, help. It's one of the places where the Psalms are the most specific. The Psalms lay out particular complaints. Here is the trouble I am in right now. And then they ask God for help. The psalmist does that in Psalm 56. Give me grace, O God, have mercy. All day long my enemies oppress me. They trample me all day long. They twist my words. They scheme for my ruin. They conspire. They lurk. They watch my every step. They hope to take my life. Help. If we look throughout the Psalms, there's all manner of trouble and distress. Enemies are prowling the walls of the city. They stalk the city streets, bringing ruin. They oppress, they defraud. Some Psalms find the psalmist crying up out of a pit. Some find the psalmist caught in the fowler's snare. Some waiting for the next conquering army to roll over the hills. The psalmist cries out, "This is the trouble I am in right now. Help." And the Psalms are specific about what it feels like. The pain is intense. Help me, God. I am languishing. My bones are rattled. I am exhausted with my groaning at night. My bed is soaked with tears. Sometimes it feels like God has abandoned us. My God, why have you forsaken me? Sometimes it feels like God is complicit. How can you let this happen, God? The Psalms are specific enough to voice to God the psalmist's pain, the psalmist's need for help, and at the same time, somehow, they are open enough to leave room for ours. For those times when we can feel the pain and brokenness in our bodies, when we see and hear it in the lives of others, for those times when the world is crashing in those sleepless nights, when it feels like trouble is prowling the walls, for those times when we look around the world at the systems of oppression that just keep grinding away, a planet hurtling toward collapse, and feel like there is nothing we can do, the Psalms of Lament, in their spare and honest particularity, leave room for our particular pain, space for our prayer too. Help. And it's not only the big sweeping help that the Psalms cry out for. We've talked about, I think in the first sermon in the series, about how the Psalms of Lament do cry out for liberation, for salvation, big and broad. But perhaps even more, the cry is for the here and now. The everyday trouble, the need for everyday help. Robert Alter, who is a prominent Hebrew scholar, points out that the Hebrew word that usually gets translated as salvation in the Psalms can just as often, and maybe in the Psalms more often, mean to get somebody out of a tight fix. So he translates that word in the Psalms not as salvation, but as rescue. We pray to the God of rescue to come and help. In the Psalms, Alter says, the speakers aren't seeking to be transported out of this world to a different spiritual realm. They implore God to lift them up out of the pit, to confound their enemies, and to bring them to wholeness and safety. They pray for the help they need now out of the pain they feel now in this moment of this day. Help. When she starts her chapter on prayers of help, Anne Lamott says this: "It's all hopeless. Even for a crabby optimist like me, things could not be worse. Everywhere you turn, our lives and families and morale and government are falling to pieces. So many friends have broken children. So many children have broken parents. The planet does not seem long for this world. Repent, await, never mind. Help." That's a lament. Lamont says, most good, honest prayers remind us that we are not in charge, that we cannot fix anything, and they then open us up to being helped by something, some force, some friends, some something. Help. Maybe it might be good right here to take a breath and just think for a moment as you look around this world, where do you hear cries for help like this? Where do you need help? This week, I read this thing about prayers of lament that really didn't seem to fit at first. It was this: all prayer is response. It actually said all prayer is answering speech. All of our prayer is a response to God. But with lament, it sure feels like we are speaking the first word in the conversation. Help, God, help. It wells up from deep within us out of our pain and our suffering. We cry out and then we wait for God to respond. But here's the thing with lament, with that prayer for help, with our lament, we pray because we sense that someone is listening. That's what differentiates prayer from wishful thinking. We pray to the God we have come to know. We pray to the God who has loved us first. In the Psalms, to the God we have come to know, in all the ways that God has accompanied and delivered God's people, and for those of us in Christian traditions, to the God we have come to know in Jesus Christ. These psalms of lament sit alongside all of the psalms that hold our memory of all the ways that God has come to help. Generation after generation, God's steadfast love endures forever. Psalm 103 does that. Praise God, O my soul, and forget not all God's benefits, who forgives our sin, who heals our broken places, who pulls us up out of the pit, who crowns us with love and compassion, who nourishes and sustains us, who works justice for the oppressed, whose love for us is as great as the heavens are high above the earth, who remembers that we are dust, who lets us lament like this, who listens, who loves, who breathes life into us in this breath and the next. In these psalms of lament, in our prayers of lament out of our pain, we pray in response to the God we have come to know, to the God who has loved us first, and we ask for help. Now, to be sure, it is not wishful or magical thinking. Any of us who has prayed in pain knows that it just doesn't work like that. Oh, that it would. The Psalms of Lament don't report the particular way that God fixes their particular pain or even that God did. But in some ways, the Psalms of Lament make an even bolder claim that God listens, that God hears our lament, and that God cares, that God is for us even in our pain, especially in our pain. One writer puts it like this: the Psalms of Lament bespeak a bold assumption. God cares that I am in pain and can be expected to do something about it. That is a remarkable assumption when you think about it, that the God who made heaven and earth should care that I am hurting. Did you catch how the psalmist expressed that in Psalm 56. After all that lament, the psalmist says, "But you, O God, you keep track of all my wanderings, and you put my tears in your bottle." God who is almighty, God who brings down the nations, God who makes the sun to rise and then to set and then to rise again, is the God who gathers up every tear in the whole wide world so that not one tear of ours falls to the ground. God scoops it up. Not one tear falls to the ground unnoticed. And then the psalmist says this: God is for me. God, you are for me. In this moment, in this pain, God, you are for me. God, you know all my wanderings. You listen when I cry. You gather up every tear. You are here. You are near. The power of lament isn't that it fixes all that is wrong, but that it lets us give it voice and then reminds us that we are never alone. That God is at the same time close at hand and always on the way. Help. Thanks. Wow. There's something to that. But maybe we come to experience them in the reverse order. Wow. God, you made heaven and earth, the stars, the sky, the sun, the moon, the sea, every living being, soaring redwood, grassy plain, fish that swim the seas, every crawling thing, and us. We toil here on this earth, fumbling our ways through the darkest days, and you make the sun to rise and shine every morning. Thanks. Thank you for this day, for a new breath, for a new moment opening with possibility. Thank you for the people we love and for those who love us, for family and friends and this community of kindred spirits, for the kind word, for tender touch. Thank you for giving us lives of meaning, something to learn each new day, for the gifts of community and hope and memory. For all those times you've reached down and pulled us out of the pit. Thanks. So, help me, God. Help me now, in this struggle, in this pain. You know my wanderings. You gather up every tear and keep it in your bottle. As you have loved me before, love me now. Love us now. Bring your healing, bring your justice, bring your peace. Your steadfast love endures forever. So help me, God. The Psalms pull together all these prayers of lament alongside the memory of God's loving action from the beginning of time until now, and then they hand them down from generation to generation, leaving room enough for us to join in the prayer, reminding us that we pray these prayers together. Perhaps a bit more metaphorically, we pray them together over time. The psalmists lament out of the pain of their world, the suffering of being enslaved, the bewilderment of wandering in the desert, the agony of living in exile far from home, the everyday ache of their particular lives. Their lament echoes down through the generations, and as we join our voices to theirs, we remember together what it is to be human, to live these frail lives, and to love and be loved by God. Less metaphorically, in this moment, we are actually praying these prayers together. Maybe this morning you have brought your lament into this space. Maybe I've brought mine. all our tears gathered up in the vessel of this moment. Maybe this is not your morning for lament. Maybe you have arrived today feeling something altogether different, and that is great. We live the full range of human experience, and we come to this space every week just as we are, and yet even on better days, we remember, we know what it is to lament in our bones, and we're here for each other. However we have arrived in this space today, here we are together in God's presence, holding each other's pain, holding each other. We sit with each other, pray with each other, sing with each other. And we say to each other every week, wherever you are on your journey, there is a place for you here. When we pray these Psalms of Lament, in so many ways, they remind us that we are never alone.